On part two of this week's episode of The Good, The Bad, and The Watchable, we review A Quiet Place Part 2, which just came out in theaters late last month. We also do our weekly segment of Good, Bad, and Watchable. Let's start the show.
What happened?
A bomb, I think.
All right, Boyle, 3 out of 10, 2.5 out of 5 on the Swole scale for Mark, 4 out of 10 for me. That was The Conjuring. The devil made me do it. The devil made me review it. Let's move along now to another sequel, because that's what we get. That's the slop we're given these days on the big screen, but I'm not knocking it. And it's this is a movie that was supposed to come out last March, and then we all know what happened at that point. I don't think I have to say it. So this movie gets pushed back to the fall of last year. Then I got pushed back to the fall of this year, and then I got moved up this year to May, which was like, whoa, surprise win for us. And that was A Quiet Place Part 2, PG-13 movie, 1 hour and 37 minutes. Following the events at home, the Abbott family now faced, I didn't know that was their last name. I didn't know they were the Abbotts. All right, just learning that now. The Abbott family now faced the terrors of the outside world. Forced to venture into the unknown, they realize the creatures that hunt by sound are not the only threats lurking beyond the sand path. Interesting. Directed by John Krasinski, written by John Krasinski and Scott Beck, Brian Woods as well, Emily Blunt, Millicent Simmons, Killian Murphy, and our guy Noah Jupe, Honey Boy, is in this. They're reprising their roles in this movie, and a few other people that I won't get into. All right, Boyle, let's start with you. You saw it. Where'd you see it?
This movie I saw in IMAX on the Saturday it came out. But IMAX lost power like about 1.5 minutes into the trailers. So we were actually given free tickets to go see an IMAX movie another time. And we're able to go next door to the 2D theater because for some reason that side did have power and we could go watch it over there. So we went over to the normal theater to go see this movie. I'd say after like how amazing the first movie was to me, just a solid 10 out of 10. I love that movie. I went into this like with really high expectations and kind of that like feeling like, all right, do we need this or were we good? Like, should we never touch this again? The minute the title screen came up for Quiet Place Part 2, I looked right at Mikhail and goes, setup movie. Instantly. I was like, I just knew right away. I was like, this is 100% middle of the line and we're going to have a third movie. So now this could have already been announced prior. I just didn't know that from my own news, but I could just tell. So I will say that I enjoyed this movie, but I did not love it as much as the first one. So it was good to get information. You know, the good of this movie, I thought the sound editing and mixing is just perfect. You know, it had just the perfect moments where it was silent and just every aspect of the sound is always just so perfect in these movies. Or I should say, you know, for the second movie, they did a good job the second time. I did mention that I had to change like how I was eating my popcorn because I was being too loud. So, I had to like seriously like pause and be like, oh God, it's so noisy. Like eating my popcorn, not a popcorn movie. Just letting you know, just don't even try because you will fight it the entire movie. Yeah. Where you're only eating the cheese, not even the chips.
With your hands like Winnie the Pooh. Yeah.
Oh my God. All right. So, that threw me right off. Okay. I do like that it picks up right where the last movie ended. And this one starts right there. However, it's like for every good, there was a bad. However, I hated that the kids are like way older. So it just like looks very weird. So I did say if they're making this third one that they need to get on that pretty quick, because I felt that the kids were noticeably older and I still don't even know their names. I'll be honest with you. I don't know any of the any of the characters' names.
Regan and
I don't know. Yeah. What are their names?
Regan and Marcus. Did you get, I mean, Mark, you didn't see it. Did you notice that the kid that dies in the first movie, that they didn't even show his face? Cause that kid like was so young at the time when they filmed it, like any kind of growth for like a 4-year-old at that point is going to, so they didn't even show the kid's face in the beginning sequence.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. You just knew. You were like, I was like, are we going to see this?
Here's the thing about me, not to cut you off. I never notice when kids are getting older and stuff because like, I don't watch it again, like right before I see it. So I'm just like, oh yeah. The kids are a little bit older. That's fine. That's normal. No.
That's not, I'm not really, I think that's like okay. That. If it didn't, like literally the first scene, dude, is them walking out of the house still. So like, I disagree,
but no, I don't,
like they literally left.
All, but boy, are you seeing that? And you're just like, I can't.
No, I'm not getting that upset about it. Right. No, but I'm just saying like, no, yeah, it just was noticeable is my point.
Next movie, so the kid shows up with a mustache. Hey, mom, we got to get out of here.
I've had it. Yeah.
I'm 9 years old. I'm time to move out of the house.
I've had it, mom. So the bad, I didn't love this one as much as the first. It was just okay. I really hoped we got more of the flashbacks than the one that I feel like we really did. I wasn't really spooked as much as the first time. And I know there's some, I know the whole thing's fiction, but stuff like the little oxygen part and stuff like with the kid, like that was super unrealistic. There's no way they would have lasted.
Are you arguing the idea of the capacity of an oxygen tank?
Yeah, that was empty. Yeah.
No, that was one of the new, that was one of the new ones.
Dude, no.
No, oh yeah, wait, no. The one that was, yeah, that was. Yes, no, because there was split in time between it, but it wasn't empty yet.
Yeah, it was pretty empty, man. That Boyle, took a while.
There's no way. Then you don't have a movie.
Then the kid dies. Facts. I want facts, man. I want it real. Again, it's nitpicking. I'm just saying. It has to be said. It's important. And I also just, you know, the ending obviously ended because there's apparently a third one, but like I literally ended and I was like, this is just getting good. Like, why did we end here? I literally, the minute what happened, the final scene. And I was like, don't you, and then it went black screen. I was like, dang. And I like stood up and walked out of, oh man.
Yeah. It's not really, it's not really a spoiler that a huge, film franchise, leaves you on a cliffhanger that will lead to a third one. I told Julia as soon as we left the movie, I was like, there's going to be a third one. She's like, yeah. You know, you think so? I was like, yeah, I mean, the last movie made so much money versus how much the budget was. And the way Hollywood works is if a movie can be made for a small budget, make a big profit, they'll keep doing it until it no longer. So like, you know, just from an economic standpoint, like I was like, of course, you know, they're going to make a they're going to make a fourth one. They're making the offshoot one. Do you hear that?
No.
They're making a spinoff Quiet Place movie that features other people within the country or world that are also dealing with the things.
So this is now turning into The Purge.
Yeah, but good. Like an actual good franchise. Yeah, sorry to keep cutting you off, Will.
No, I'm good. Honestly, that was it. Basically, it is watchable, though. It is very fun. I did really enjoy it. I just wasn't as in love with it as I was the first one. Definitely not a bad movie. It's definitely still highly enjoyable. I totally suggest going, but go spend the money and go see it at IMAX. Do it the right way.
Did you watch the trailers for this, Boyle? Just out of curiosity, how much did they show?
I watched one trailer, and that was it.
I only saw two things because, well, actually, no, they showed the IMAX trailer all the time and I would show up and be like, but for those who have seen the trailer, just know that the trailer only shows the first 15 minutes of the movie.
Yes.
So there's.
Which is great.
Great. Phenomenal. I love not knowing.
That's how trailers should be.
I know. And but anyway, so another thing going into this movie, I've rewatched the first one at the beginning of quarantine last year and realized that I didn't really, having seen it a second time, it's almost like you kind of see how the trick was made a little bit, like the magician's trick. So you're kind of like, all right, it bumped it from like a 9 to an 8 for me last time. I was like, very solid, but not as like transcendent as I thought the first one was when I rewatched it. So fast forward now a year, I'm going to see the second one here now in IMAX. And I'm thinking, okay, how can you pull this off again? We already have seen what the creatures look like. We kind of know how to kind of get them distracted that we can kill them. Like, how can John Krasinski and company make an entertaining movie? And I have to say, nailed it. Like this, I like this movie as much as I like the first one. Just very solid. This movie is an 8 out of 10 for me. I got a huge kick out of it. I thought the biggest thing for this one, Mark, that will set this one apart from other maybe not so good movies, the editing in this movie is tremendous. Where we had issues with Conjuring, where it had a lot going on, this movie has tension going on at 3 different settings that are happening concurrently, and you are stressed out like you wouldn't believe. And that's just, to me, good directing, good editing, because you care about each of the characters involved in those plots. You're nervous, and it's zoomed out enough, like both physically and like kind of like from a storytelling standpoint, that you know what's going on. You know, you're not lost in the action. So just a tremendous directing job in this movie. I love the setup. The first, the cold open to the movie is breathtaking, honestly. Just seeing some of the stuff, you're just like, whoa. Man, I was just so entertained by this movie. It's a brisk hour and 37. Like, it just flies. This movie flies, man. More movies like this, because this movie, there is no fat on this movie at all. It is just lean movie. And look, I can agree with anybody arguing that these movies at this point are now just made maybe less from a creative standpoint, more for a more for an economic standpoint. I completely get that. The way this movie ends, you're kind of like, all right, you know, just setting up more movies. I get it. But from an entertainment standpoint, big screen, IMAX standpoint, I can see why John Krasinski is so passionate about people seeing this movie in a theater, because, man, like Boyle said, this movie, how many movies take control over you to the point where you're afraid to eat popcorn? You know, like, you're that emotionally invested. I was so emotionally invested that, like, I was like, oh, like, can't breathe. It's so quiet. So final thing I'll say about this movie, everything that I felt in the last movie in terms of tension and holding my breath, and like it, that this movie has that like 3 times, like not 3 times as much as the last movie, but I'd say that feeling, I felt it 3 times watching this movie. Like, I was just holding my breath. So just another strong 8 out of 10 to me, man. Just fantastic. Just a fantastic movie. Trabian. Mark, I wish we could have your opinion on this, but you're still going to see it, right?
I'm going to see it. I just don't know when.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Look, I mean, look, you got a 7.5 from Boyle. You got an 8 from me. People are going to enjoy this movie regardless. I don't think people are going to hate this movie at all. Boyle, anything, Dad?
Nope.
Yep.
I didn't know if I said my rating.
No, I read that off your letterbox.
Thank you.
Got you. We're keeping things moving today. Good, bad, watchable segment. Does anybody have anything prepared that they want to share with that? Do you need a second? Because I'll go with my good.
I've got my list ready to rock.
You are? All right, let's start with Mark then. Mark, let's start with our good. All right, good, bad, watchable. It's our segment we do every episode where we talk about the movies we saw over the last 2 weeks that were good, the movies that were bad, the movies that are just in between, that are just plain watchable. It's good, bad, watchable. Mark, let's put 60 seconds on the clock for you, brother. Get ready for your good and go.
Guys, I watched Death Proof for the first time. It's the Quentin Tarantino movie with the stuntman Mike, lead role by Kurt Russell, our man Kurt Russell. It's a vintage Tarantino type of movie, star-studded cast. Great dialogue, just from start to finish. And then so many good scenes that it's hard to pin down which ones were my favorite. It's action-packed. Again, the writing and dialogue is just phenomenal, and we've got phenomenal acting across the board. I watched this via the Roku channel with some ads, but it's also on Amazon Prime. If you haven't seen it and you like Tarantino movies, I highly recommend it. Highly recommend. I gave this a 9 out of 10, a 4.5 out of 5 on my letterbox. Done. 58 seconds.
Let's bang. Go. I'm in. Wow. I'm in. That's good to know. Can I watch that on a plane or a little bit too graphic? It's Tarantino.
You can watch it on the plane. I will say there's like one scene where it's like that classic Tarantino type of violence.
Someone's foot gets touched.
But it's fairly quick. So you could get away with it on a plane.
And
runtime is 113 minutes. So pretty good for a plane.
Yeah, that is. I'll be sitting next to like 7-year-old, be like, see this kid, this is the harsh reality of life. Get used to it. One day you're standing there and the next a samurai sword is going right through your throat. All right, Boyle, I'll go with my good unless you're ready.
I'm good, but you can go first.
Okay, I was going to do the fancy timer thing on my watch, but I didn't get it in time. All right, Mark's got me. Ready? In 3, 2, 1. For my good, I watched Manhunter. That's right, the original Hannibal Lecter movie based off the books. This movie came out in 1986. This is a movie directed by a legendary director that I'm blanking on his name right now, and I'm pulling it up as we speak. It's Michael Mann. It's Michael Mann, everybody. Famous director. He directed Heat. Guys, what a movie this is. It's Brian Cox as Hannibal Lecter, and it gives like a different kind of look to it, which is really like even spookier maybe than Anthony Hopkins. But this is like a neo-noir, very just awesome movie. Loved it. Another good movie from me, The Rock, Sean Connery, Nick Cage. Incredible. So glad I finally watched it. Just tremendous stuff. Big fan. And time.
I'm not a bad robot. 46 seconds.
Ooh. Yeah. Manhunter. Gem.
I'm gonna check that out.
Hidden gem, guys. Seriously. That's a great movie.
What'd you watch it on?
You know, we have places where we watch movies. If you know, my friend you know, kind of fell off the back of a truck. maybe a soapy truck, if you will.
Yep.
Hey, my friend Mr. Soap would like to pay you a visit.
Oh yeah, the soap man.
The soap. Man. Scrub you clean.
Oh man. Boyle, you're good.
Yeah.
Are you ready? Set.
Ready.
Go.
I have two goods. The first one is the Friends reunion on HBO Max. I thought they did a very nice job with that, and it was very crisp. If you're a good fan, 9 out of 10. And then I also watched Bo Burnham's Inside special that he basically put himself in quarantine, like in quarantine, and didn't move and made this incredible. He wrote it. He produced it. He directed it. He's brilliant. Everything in that was brilliant. He's the man. 10 out of 10. I think for everyone else, it's an 8 out of 10 watchable. But for me, it's a 10 out of 10 good. This guy is the man. Done.
Wow.
8 out of 10
watchable?
No, I said, you see, I knew that was going to happen.
No. We know what you said. No, you said for you it was good, but you said other people would be 8 out of 10 watchable. That doesn't make that. The math doesn't check out.
Yeah. Here's what happens is because I have my type that I love, and I just feel that not everyone is into Bo Burnham. So it's tough to.
But they wouldn't give that an 8.
I don't know. That's a good point. I'm sick of my 10 out of 10. Just keep the 10 out of 10.
You're good. I understand that. More on that later. Mark, you're bad for the week.
Oh, and let me tell you, it's bad. It is.
I feel like I'm gonna get offended. Ready? Yep, go for it.
3, 2, 1. Spiral from the Book of Saw. Ew! Whoa, this movie stinks. It's bad. It's bad. It spiraled out of control. Oh, I'll see myself out. All right, the good. There's some pretty good deaths. There's some pretty good gore. That's it. The bad. Who wrote this crap? This movie stunk dialogue-wise. And the writing was just terrible. Oh, Chris Rock, you are not made for buddy cop movies. Especially not this one. The watchable. Not much. This movie's bad. Game over. That's what they said at Jigsaw at the beginning. Should have stayed that way. You lied to me. You lied to me. They just keep playing these games. Oh, it's bad. Chris Rock, not your role, buddy. Time, 34 seconds.
I was economic with your time.
Well, all right.
I'll go to rating. I gave it a 3 out of 10.
Right.
1.5 stars on my Letterboxd.
Excited to check that out. I'm just kidding. I think I got to read your review. I don't think I read your review yet. I do like a Mark DeSisto Letterboxd review when a movie stinks. Scorched earth. All right, ready? 3, 2, 1. My bad for this week. I saw two stinkers that were on How'd This Get Made, and boy, were they bad. Mannequin 2 on the Move, the 1991 sequel to Mannequin, starring Andrew. Just, guys, it's a woman in medieval time is frozen as a mannequin in medieval time. Fast forward 1,000 years later, it's a shopping mall that's about to put on a big presentation. It's a presentation they're about to put on. It's a presentation, and the mannequin ends up in their thing. Well, they take off the magic necklace off her, and she comes to life, and it's a blonde woman. She's alive, and yeah. So anyway, my other movie was also on How This Get Made. It was called The Visitor from 1979. This is one of those movies where I was watching and I still have no idea what was going on the entire movie. Like I actively hated this movie. No idea what was going on throughout it. I couldn't even tell you what it's about. I think the girl's daughter is the devil. Time.
Sure.
There you go. Skip them.
I kind of want to watch The Mannequin 2.
It's on Amazon Prime. I mean,
I'm shocked that they made Mannequin 2.
It's, guys, I will say this. It's kind of drifts into so bad it's good territory.
Ooh. Oh, I love it.
Yeah, it's, I wish I could have watched with you guys, honestly, because, yeah.
Oh, okay. Now I'm feeling it. Now I get it.
Oh, man. All right, Boyle, you're bad.
Dude, thank God we're not using this video. I look a mess today. I'm ready for bed after this. I'm toast. All right, I'm ready.
We stop recording.
3, 2, 1.
My bad this week is M. Night Unbreakable. It was junk, and I hated it, and I just not into it. It was bad and boring. I couldn't get into it, and I honestly thought it was just so much dialogue. We get it. Bruce Willis can lift some weights. And then, like, I don't know. I just thought, like, the concept's there. It just didn't execute. And there'll be follow-up a little bit later. 3 out of 10. This is bad. Not a good flick.
You all right, man?
Not.
You sounded, like, really upset towards the end there.
I gave that movie a 7 out of 10.
Wow.
I know you did.
That's a good movie.
A lot of people like this movie, actually. In fact, 3.7 out of 5.
It's a really good movie.
I don't think it's good at all.
I can't wait to read your review about this, Boyle. All right, what was the one that came out like 3 years ago? Was that?
That's. We'll talk about it soon. Glass.
And then.
Glass. Yeah.
So I had already seen Split. So I had to watch this before I watched Glass, and all of a sudden it just like popped up as my suggestions. When you turn on your Roku and it was like, watch Glass. And I was like, yeah, but I haven't watched Unbreakable first. So I watched Unbreakable and Glass back to back. Let me tell you something. Don't do it.
I've never seen Split or Unbreakable, but I saw Glass.
Classic. Split is the best one. Split is awesome.
Yeah, Split is definitely the best one. Glass was
one of my favorite rap lyrics. Kanye West, Unbreakable. That's why they call me Mr. Glass. Wow. I didn't get that reference until I saw Split. No. Glass. And I was like, oh, I get it now. Okay. All right, Mark, that leaves us with our segment, The Watchable. Are you ready, sir?
I've got two here.
All right.
Here we go. 3, 2, 1. Quick one to get out of the way. Matchstick Men. It's actually good, in my opinion, but it's a Nick Cage movie, so not a lot of people like that. So I'm going to stamp a watchable on this, but I'm going to say this is a top-tier Nick Cage movie. I gave this 4 stars on my letterbox. That makes it an 8 out of 10 for those of you listening at home. Now let's get to my real watchable. Double Jeopardy, baby. Let's do this. This movie came out in 1999. It is on Netflix. It is so dumb that it rules. This movie's awesome. I mean, they don't really know what Double Jeopardy is. This is not how the concept actually works. But God, am I glad that they used this. Tommy Lee Jones, actually good acting in this. He's definitely a top-tier character, one of his better roles. Ashley Judd was fine in it, too. But this is just like such an 80s/90s action movie. As our good friend Nick Boyle says, this is a dishwasher movie if I've ever seen one. Throw it on the background. I'm sorry, it's awesome. And that's my time. A minute 17. Yikes, Mark. But Double Jeopardy, I can't be tried again for this.
Whoa, great tie-in. I love it. All right, moving along to that was another nap movie. If there's a dishwasher movie, it's the Nick Rawat's nap movie. That's fell asleep in the middle of that. Also fell asleep in the middle of Conjuring, folks. I forgot to mention that. I can't be trusted at a movie theater. And not in that way. That came out wrong. All right, my watchable for this week. 3, 2, 1. Bo Burnham's Inside technically was watchable to me. Because, and Boyle's going to get very mad about this, and I swear to God, Julia, I'm not throwing you under the bus when you listen to it, but Jules was on the phone while I was watching that, so I watched it with subtitles, so I was able to kind of hear it, but mostly read the whole movie. It was, man, he is so creative. He is so creative in how he's able to put stuff together. I think he's a fascinating comedian. I really enjoyed it, but technically it's just watchable for me because, man, I feel like I missed some parts of it, but...
Do you think 8 out of 10 possible?
Yeah, 8 out of 10 watchable. Wolf of Wall Street, 9 out of 10 watchable for me as well. Shout out to Dave Allen. No, but I didn't give a rating to Inside yet. I don't think I ever will. Unless I see it again, which I don't know when I will. Maybe I will. Insidious is my other watchable this week. Patrick Wilson. Hey, I didn't know he was in this movie. It's actually a pretty good movie. Rose Byrne's in it too. Not bad. I kind of enjoyed it. James Wan. And done.
57.
Dude, you can't watch a Bo Burnham special and not listen to the music that he creates.
I could hear it, Boyle. I said I could hear it, but I mostly read it.
Yeah, I think you have to rewatch it.
Dude, the sex thing song was hilarious.
That was. There was a lot of good. I literally wrote notes for... I'm not getting... Come on, Lindsay. I literally wrote notes for every single song. I haven't done I did my abbreviated version of my write up for Inside, but I'll have a bigger one. I love it. I'm literally almost done with my second rewatch.
Yeah. You know what's funny is the day after you said I rewatched it the next day, the day after I heard a podcast where I think it was Bill Simmons saying yeah, I watched it. It was fascinating. I don't see myself ever watching it again. And I was like, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
But no, Boyle, I know that's your guy. So
it is.
You're watchable for the week. Are you ready, sir?
I'm just making sure I got certain things up. I'm good. I got 4 of them. Gotta go quick.
All right, here we go.
We're watchable, Jesus.
In 3, 2, 1, and go.
The first one's a classic throwback to our childhood. Recess, School's Out, still holds up. 6 out of 10. Classic kid jokes and classic show and movie. The Glass, which would like I mentioned was in that trilogy, I gave it a 4 out of 10. It's okay, kind of cool to finally tie it in. Maybe it could be just people with a mind thing going on, or is it really people with superhero powers? Just kind of makes you think a lot, so I gave it that credit. But besides that, I didn't think it was a really good movie at all. Still was really boring to me and just could care less. Just was dumb. Spiral, 5.5 out of 10. I'd kind of round up to the 6 because of enjoyability when I watched it. I actually enjoyed it more than I know our friend Jerry's mentioned and Mark that they didn't love it. Yeah, there were definitely parts that weren't great. Maybe it would round down to a 5, but I still wanted to give it some credit because I enjoyed it while watching. But a lot of the dialogue was dumb. I called the killer in the first 5 minutes. And last is Double Jeopardy, like Mark said. This actually teetered up towards good for me. It was 6 out of 10. My dishwasher watch of the week. That's such a tongue twister. And it was awesome. Did a little laundry at the end to finish it up. Time.
Not bad. Minute 8.
Well, you...
I missed by a second.
I know. That's why I was like, I'm not even going to say it.
I clocked in at a minute 9, so...
Boyle, yeah,
for the listeners, Boyle's hair looks great, by the way.
Dude.
That is tremendous, bro.
Guys, I actually I have a rewatch.
Whoa. Look at you getting fancy.
Whoa!
And what might that movie be on HBO Max? If you guys, are in the mood for a little bit of high school Texas football, Varsity Blues, 1999. It's a classic. A lot of the jokes still hold up. Yes, there is the iconic whipped cream bikini in that. Reggie Ray, of course. I mean, Johnny Moxley, quarterback.
Billy Bob.
There's a lot about that movie. It's a classic. Really gives you back to the feeling of those 90s sports movies. And Boyle, you just look phenomenal right
now. Boyle looks like Joaquin Phoenix at when he was kind of like in that phase.
Yeah, for those, we're going to do great podcasting right now, but Boyle looks like Wolfman from the classic, what was that movie? It's like Teenage Werewolf or whatever.
American
Werewolf. Yeah, Teen Wolf.
Yeah, like
Teen Wolf,
from
yeah.
the 80s. Michael J. Fox.
Michael J. Fox, yeah.
Boyle, you look exactly like that.
Boyle, I thought you were wearing sunglasses. That's how dark that hair is.
But yeah, I'd say if you guys have access to HBO, go ahead. Give Varsity Blues a rewatchable. I actually did it while I was making dinner last week, so...
The cooking movie of the week. I got a dishwasher one. You got a cooking one.
That's Chef Mark's dinner special.
Yeah. Rojas, what would yours be? The Coco special?
Yeah, like movie throw on the Cocos that you know that they'll be chatting through the first 25 minutes and then ask like, okay, so what's happening? And I go, okay. What's happening?
Do you remember? At the con...
Yeah, Jules is telling me that they were talking about Portugal or something like that. We're all just like,
shut up. I said that out loud in theaters.
Yeah.
Shut up.
And you know what's funny is the people behind us might have been like, wow, this guy in front of us is rude. I guess we shouldn't talk during this movie. This guy's not afraid. For those who don't know, we went with like a crew of, 10 of us yesterday to go see Conjuring. So we're taking up two rows and, you know, everyone's friends, everyone's social catching up. And the movie begins, you know, got the logo going up and we hear members of our party chatting and all three of us not shy and just trying to shut them up. Thought it was great. I started shushing and we just got the straight up, shut up.
I was, well, the funny, like it was actually pretty funny because I feel like when one person shushes, everyone else feels like they can start shushing because it instantly like someone way behind us shushed, then somebody up in the front shushed. It was like the shh, and then you hear Mark, shut up.
By the way, that's what you want to have during a global pandemic, a bunch of droplets coming out like shh, shh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of that, I found a pretty awesome lollipop attached to the bottom of my seat last night. Unrelated. Pretty tasty.
Ooh.
It was only halfway gone.
No. That's where you were sucking on that lolly from?
Where'd you get that lollipop? I don't know.
I'll never tell.
Well, on that disgusting note, that pretty much wraps up our episode, Flying by the Seat of Our Pants. That was great. Follow the show on Twitter, Instagram, GBW Pod. Give us a shout out with what you've been watching lately. We have some Cookie and Kristen reviews after each of our movies here. So give them a listen when you can. I don't know why I said that. It'd be at the end of everything. You know, scratch that. That was terrible. So stupid. I'm going on vacation. How many movies I'll see? I don't know. I got to download some stuff to my Kindle. I'm very much looking forward to that. But in the meantime, guys, anything you quickly want to preview? What do we got coming out this week? Anything good?
Yep.
Loki on Disney Plus.
Yeah. Yes.
2 days, ladies and gentlemen. 2 days. I am very excited for that. And according to reports, we all know I like to do my research. According to reports that Loki is going to have some of the biggest impact of Phase 4 for the Marvel Universe. More than we even know. So this show is like that. Apparently they put a lot into this. And it's going to affect the movies going forward.
Boyle's guy Jeff D. Lowe is pumped.
Dude, I was going to say. And when we even knew this was coming, though, I mean, when they first announced these, right? We knew Loki's going to be the best one. We just knew it. And then WandaVision was 2. And then easily Winter Soldier, I think 3. I just like that was my mindset going in. And so far, that's where I'm still at. So very excited for this. Very, very excited. It's going to be huge.
Too. I'm pumped. And between this week's episode and 2 weeks from now, we're going to have that. We have Infinite. So all five of you out there who have Paramount Plus, you can check out that movie from Mark Wahlberg. We have In the Heights, which Boyle's going to line up outside the theater to go see.
In the Heights.
Yep. Which we all know, Mark, everyone calls it The Heights. Peter Rabbit 2, The Runaway is our next review on the next episode.
No, it's not.
Hey, hold on. Don't forget, I did live in Washington Heights for 1 month.
People do forget that. The following Wednesday, next Wednesday, The Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard comes out, which I just saw my first trailer for that before Conjuring, and egad, that looks bad. I didn't laugh once in that trailer.
Oh, I can't wait for that movie.
I actually looked at Boyle. I was like, that wasn't funny.
I know you did, but I was like, I can't wait.
You know what's funny too is right after I said that, I was like, don't be a dick, Nick. Come on. Why don't you say that to Boyle? Let the guy enjoy it. Because I was like, I'm munching on the tub of popcorn that's bigger than me, sitting in my little chair. I'm like, that sucked. That joke sucked. Terrible.
That's exactly what it was. And then Mark and I were laughing.
I know. And then and we have, between this week and next episode, we have Luca coming out on Pixar.
I can't wait. Mark Luca.
I'm juiced up for that. And then they gave a little preview with one of the characters, the girl, I don't remember what her name is, but she was just saying different cheeses. She's like, Santa Mozzarella, Santa Pecorino. And I was like, yeah, let's go. I'm getting all juiced up for Luca. The Italian's got a movie and we're not all criminals in it. Let's go.
Yeah. two things about that. One, it's not on Disney Plus premiere. So if you are a Disney Plus subscriber, no added cost, you get to see it. Very bummed it's not coming in theaters. Two, double feature, guys. We watch Hillbilly Elegy and then follow it up with Luca to kind of cleanse the palate.
Ooh.
That could be the move.
That's a little medicine with a spoonful of sugar there.
Yeah.
And we make a nice Italian meal.
I can do that.
I think that's our plan. Guys, anybody who's listening to the podcast right now just heard us make some plans.
They're coming on. They're coming. They could come.
Yeah. If you listen to this, one free coupon to join us. but no, that sounds good to me. I'm very much looking forward to Luca. Just the colors on that just look tremendous. So, well, that's going to do it for the show. That was Nick Boyle, old Boyle 92, Mark Swolsto, Mark DeSisto over there. I'm Nick Rojas, Rojo 36. Thanks so much for listening. We appreciate it as always. And we'll see you next time.
All right, this is Cookie and
Kristen.
And we're talking to you from our car because we just went to the what?
Movie.
Yes, for the first time in a long time since, what was the movie that we saw in Wichita?
Onward.
Yeah, Oscar nominated too. Mm-hmm. So tonight we saw A Quiet Place Part Deux, which is French for two, or I could be Spanish and say dos, at the AMC Theater. So first off, let's talk about the theater experience. Number one, what'd you think?
Return back to the movies. I think this was a good choice. It was exciting on the big screen.
Oh yeah, but let's talk about the theater.
I don't know if I noticed any kind of
AMC. It's a pretty big theater.
It is.
This is a big movie theater.
I didn't notice any extremely out of the ordinary.
No, I'm just saying it was big.
Okay.
It's been a while. And the seats, comfy.
Comfy. They're the ones that everybody
recline
has
back.
Now.
Yep, absolutely. I was very happy and much bigger than what it looks like when I drive by it.
Ticket buying was a little confusing.
Ticket buying was crazy. So we both have AMC A-lists. Because we got it like that. And we reactivated. But apparently you can't buy tickets next to each other. You have to buy them. Like if I wanted to buy tickets, I'd have to do it on my own. But why? I pay for the free stuff. So I don't have to. Exactly.
So we each have it. So
we had a seat between us.
Yes. So we, got around the system.
Right.
And we're able to have the seat next to us.
Took us a while. Free. But we got there.
So.
Okay. So back to the movie. Quiet Place 2. I'm going to let you go because I don't know, but we paid for a full seat, but you only used the edge, Kristen. You were literally jumping out of your seat. I sat there. I was half asleep. I found it, okay. I was terrified. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, we jumped in the places where everybody jumps, just action packed. I thought it was clever. The three, points of, yes. of stress.
Three things going on three at once.
Interchanging in yes. all of them. It was done beautifully. John Krasinski, well done.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah.
I thought that was very good.
Did
very
he
well.
This?
Yes, he
oh,
did.
Oh, he directed it. Oh,
so
my God.
I thought he wrote it too.
Oh, yes, so, right. Yeah. Okay, but let's talk about the aliens because I don't think I got this out in the first review. Do these look really smart aliens?
I mean,
they
yeah,
just
you
literally
said, how did they get here? Earth?
Is that like a meteor that brought them here? Because it doesn't.
Possibly.
I mean, it's a big spaceship. I mean, do they
it
look
like it was crashing? So
true. That's they probably destroyed some other craft or something because yeah. they are just the worst.
Yeah,
they just are they eating these people? Because I saw a lot of bodies just being wasted, yeah. and they look very thin. I mean, you think about it, they're very, very skinny creatures. Anyways, that being said, this movie had me stressed.
Very stressed.
Very stressed.
I was anxious. It was a la, what are the movies that I get so stressed out over?
Oh, I don't know.
Tom Cruise.
Oh, Mission Impossible.
Mission Impossible, yeah. kind of stress level.
Let's go through the cast real quick.
I mean, Millicent.
She did fantastic.
She's excellent actress.
Did you sense anything kind of creepy between her and
no,
the other kid?
No, him, Cillian Murphy. Yeah. No, she kept holding his face so she could understand.
I know that, but it just kind of seemed weird. But anyways. Jube, I wanted to punch him in the head.
Noah. You know,
he just really ticked me off.
But he did at the moment.
He came through.
All right.
Emmett, but, Cillian Murphy.
Good. Yeah.
He did a good job.
No, I think it was kind of interesting how we started out just seeing how it all began.
Yeah.
Whereas when the last one, we picked up after they've lived in this quiet place for a while.
Yeah.
So
over a year. Yeah.
So it was interesting to see how it all began.
Yeah.
And
the baseball game scene.
I think it was just John Krasinski's way of getting back in the movie.
Maybe. Yeah. But I mean, I thought all in all, I'm going to give this movie
a solid sequel.
It was a very good sequel. I don't know what to give it just yet. I mean, first reaction, knee-jerk reaction, movies, the way it was meant to be
seen.
And
it could be standalone.
Yeah, I mean, that's
you could watch it without seeing the first
without
one.
Without knowing, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. What are you going to give it?
So on Letterboxd, it's out of 5. I'm going to give it a 4 because I think I gave A Quiet Place a 4.
Yeah.
Because I was just so, it was such a, and the use of sound is always...
Or lack thereof.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's just, I think, adds another level, so...
I'm going to give it a 9. 4.5 stars.
All right.
And you?
4.5. Wow.
Yeah. It was almost perfect.
Well.
You know what I mean?
All right.
All right. Take care. Bye, guys.